Isaac Edelman here alongside EJ Farman. Look, this is a pretty exciting show. Not really for Canes fans. I'm just excited to be with EJ because we're talking Miami Hurricanes football. That's why we're on together. But it's not that exciting because, well, you tell us why, EJ.
We're not the program that we should be right now. And, you know, if you – I try to – like a lot of I've been hearing from a lot of, you know, fans and friends and I try to tell people Miami's 4-2 right now, right? They're really not in a bad position, right outside the top 25, in the top 30 at least. But it's not the 4-2 we expected.
Yeah.
The four and two was an A&M loss, a UNC loss, not a Georgia Tech loss sprinkled in. So You try to tell people from a trajectory perspective, we are where we thought we would be right now. Yeah. As a 4-2 team, not beating one of the teams that we didn't think we would and losing to one of the teams that we thought we were going to demolish. Obviously, we talked about the trap game a while back coming off the bye week. But it's progress. It's just progress from a different perspective, if that makes sense.
Well, look, I know it's been 2 weeks since, but I do want to talk about the Georgia Tech game. Well, first of all, we haven't spoke about it, right, on air. We haven't. Yeah. But the main reason is no one's gotten past it, right? So it's I don't think this is going to be a situation where it's ever too late to talk about the situation. So before we analyze it, EJ, let me brag for a little bit. Come on, you have to let me brag. Look, I'm just going to say it straight up. I don't think anyone has a better angle than this touchdown than me. Look, you first of all had to be at the game, right?
Yeah.
Then there had to have been a crazy play. And you had to have had good seats, meaning a good angle. But also, my friend next to me had good seats. Same game, whatever. He didn't have his phone out. So I really don't think anyone in the country had this good of an angle. It's not just because I'm up close, but you see everything. You see the cheerleaders, the security guard, the touchdown. Let's just watch it, and then we'll analyze it. You hear it's dead silent. You see the cheerleaders. They're smiling. That's their job. Like nothing happened. The security guard is not doing his job turning around. And, yeah, like.
Quick PTSD flashback for all you Hurricane fans out there.
I apologize.
But it's all right. We'll get through.
This is the truth. There's no PTSD because you're seeing it every day on Twitter. Believe me, people are still tweeting. And we'll get to more tweeting about the UNC game. But let's first start here. We know what happened, right? We don't need to analyze and say you should have kneeled. We know that, right? So this is what I want you to address, not what happened. We know what happened. It's been two weeks since. Where do the Canes go from here, right? Because they lose the next week against UNC. But UNC, look, they're a tough team. They're ranked for a reason.
Yeah.
But Georgia Tech, not that good of a team. And if you call them good, they're definitely not better than the Canes. So what do you think the Canes do? Because on paper, they're never going to get over it.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's one of those things where you look at it's you measure the rosters from top to bottom. It's a Miami win on paper, right? Yeah. Obviously, the outcome was different. They caught a W. We caught an L. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter and stuff. They're like, oh, if you just kneel it. Oh, if you just do this. We, for the most part, we played not the greatest football. And you try to tell people, everyone was like, you know, this happened. And, you know, Mario Cristobal is still working with a group of players that aren't his, if that makes sense. There's still a lot of depth on that roster that belonged to Manny Diaz and that belonged to the undisciplined culture that he was. James Williams has had two or three unsportsmanlike penalties, you know, throughout the season so far. People saw the one with Keontra Smith when he actually costed us possession that would have been North Carolina territory by smacking somebody in the face. So it's tough because it's like, you know, people are saying move on. And I think it's not as much as the loss itself, but it's how the loss took place.
Yeah.
You have a chance to, like you said, kneel it out, which is the big thing. You know, why didn't they kneel the ball? It's hard to pinpoint one thing in that game that you can look at. TBD didn't have a good game. you know, defense, in my opinion, through the first half was great. They had turnovers, they had sacks. You know, James Williams had that big pick to kind of set us up towards the end of the game. But the plays that Miami, if you get things special throughout a game, those are bonuses, right? But the things that Miami is supposed to execute, in my opinion, they didn't execute those things that it's like that those things should be done. Anything outside of that is just icing on the cake, right? So, you know, as a Hurricane fan, it's like, you know, you say, oh, on to next week. To me, it's not the loss, it's how the loss came. That's why it bothers me the most.
And let me say this. I know everyone has been and will continue to scream at me, just kneel.
Yeah.
Okay, we know that. So I want to point out what people are not discussing. Let's say Mario Cristobal just had to run the ball, right? Yeah. Then don't fumble. That's number one. Then don't fumble. Fine. If you don't fumble, no one's going to say you should have kneeled it, even though you should have. I'm going to have to start saying it. Kneel. Number two, no one's talking about this. And I saw it in person, and I was like, wow. A big pass play, first play, Georgia Tech gets into like 60-yard field goal range. Just one play. Second, the Kane secondary allows that pass, right? And then obviously you allow the touchdown. So there's a few things, because after the fumble, right, we're like, oh crap, this could be overtime. And that's what I thought was going to happen at the most. Yeah. But you don't just allow them to get in a field goal range.
Yeah.
You allow them to score a touchdown. That's the biggest thing.
And in my opinion, like they're playing a bend but don't break type of prevent defense. You know, keep everything in front of you. The last play of the game, you'll see where Cam Kitchens is the one that got caught playing in no man's land, essentially. He tried to bite on something that wasn't there. He played up more than what he should have been. Everything should have just – if everything stays in front of him, again, if we kneel the ball and not run it, or if we run it and don't fumble, if Cam Kitchens plays 10 yards further back, then that play is probably stopped, and it's either an incomplete pass or he's tackled down where it is, and it's really hard for them to – because once the chains reset, the clock starts running. Exactly. You know, so it would have been extremely hard for them to either get the field goal unit on or even get the offensive line back up, because it was a long play.
Exactly.
To be able to either clock it or run another play and try to get to the end zone. So, you know, there's a couple variables that obviously, you know, that you look at the fumble and it's like, well, if he doesn't fumble, then we win. Well, if he kneels, then we win. But if Cam Kitchens is playing prevent defense like he's supposed to, instead of trying to jump something that's not there, you don't need to play hero ball right there.
Yeah.
Play your role, play your zone, play your position, make the tackle, let the clock run out, ball game, even if we do fumble.
Yeah. This is the last thing I want you to touch on, because we just need to get over this game. Yeah. I love hypotheticals, right? I love sports broadcasting. I love hypotheticals.
Yeah.
What if we had the same ending as Miami Duke many years ago and they did the laterals and they scored? No one would be talking about the kneel, because the Canes just had the biggest win of all time, laterals.
And that's the double-edged sword to it. It's like, you know, if you kneel it out, you win the game and you go home and it's, you know, that it's ball game, clock runs out.
And if the Canes ran the ball and there's no fumble, no one's talking about it.
Yeah, it's almost a lose-lose either way in some scenarios, because, you know, you run the ball, you fumble, you get a Duke lateral Corn Elder touchdown type of play that goes on.
Exactly.
And a lot of people are saying that what happened to Miami against Georgia Tech with, you know, Don Chaney's elbow being down, they're saying that that's kind of karma, because we had a knee down in one of the laterals in that Duke game.
Really?
So many years
I
ago.
Never knew
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Never
so if
that.
You go back, if you go back and watch on one of the catch, I think it's Corn Elder's catch. When he caught it, his knee, it looked like it had hit the ground, and then he got up and obviously took off running. But a lot of people are like, that's karma for, you know, and they were posting the picture of the knee being down for so many years ago. So
this is why people have to watch FL teams. I mean, I'm no big Canes fan, so I'm sure people knew, but this is the analysis we needed. But let's get over this Georgia Tech nonsense. I mean, this is still considered nonsense, but considering UNC is way better than Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
Plus, there was no pinpoint ending to the UNC game. What do you take about that? Because the Canes were ranked this season, ranked highly, actually.
Yeah.
And obviously, they weren't ranked. Actually, they were. They were 25th.
Yeah.
But again, they're not favorites, but who cares? This is still a Canes team that has high expectations. So what do you take of that loss?
So the UNC loss, what bugged me the most is that it was – and a lot of people, you know, they were saying, well, the defense gave up so many points. Look, I didn't play football at the collegiate level, but I know effort, I know intensity, and I know energy playing sports growing up. And I know that as a defender, if I'm on the field for 12 or 10 or 12 plays and I only get a 30-second rest and I'm back on the field for 6 to 8 more, that happens 2 or 3 times, you're going to get fried. It is what it is. The level of athleticism that those guys are going up against, having to shed blocks, chase, tackle, you know what I mean? Like it's a lot of energy expelled.
Yeah, definitely.
And people were saying, you know, the defense let up this and the defense let up that. And it's like, well, hold on. TBD had a fumble. Then he turns around and he throws an interception. So those are two back-to-back sequences where the defense hit the field quick without even having time to really get a sip of Gatorade, in my opinion. And then obviously, you know, Tez Walker touchdown comes off of that. It was 4th and 20. It could have been 3rd and 30. You know, people are playing that scenario too. Like what happens if he accepts the penalty? You know, it knocks him out of field goal range. Instead, he declines it and they end up going for it. The 3rd and 20 instead of, you know, 2nd and 30 or whatever. And they end up scoring to Tez Walker over the middle. So like the thing that kills me the most about the UNC loss is the lack of discipline. Mm-hmm. We had Lance Guidry getting an unsportsmanlike when the line judge was right down from him at the sticks, could have called his timeout there for whatever reason. I think that he thought he had his timeout granted and was running on the field, essentially calling his team over. I don't think it was that he was running on the field to call his timeout. I think he thought his timeout was granted, went on the field, obviously got hit for an unsportsmanlike conduct. But then we hold him, we get him to 4th and 15, 4th and 18. They're getting ready to punt. Keontra Smith hits somebody in the head, a retaliation type thing. You have James William getting unsportsmanlike conduct towards the third quarter. Those are still, in my opinion, and this kind of showed more so in this game than any other. It showed that we're still rooted in that culture when Manny Diaz was there, that undisciplined, no accountability level of culture. When Manny was there, I mean, unsportsmanlike left and right. And if you look at it too, Keontra Smith was a starting linebacker at one point. Keontra Smith was a starting linebacker at one point, and now he's barely even holding on to special teams roster spots. So Rome wasn't built in a day, and this Miami roster won't be either. And it's frustrating to say because there's been 20 years of headache. You know, Al Golden, you have Randy Shannon, you have Mark Richt. Some of his era wasn't the greatest. Obviously, the big Notre Dame win was huge. And then you have the Manny Diaz. So there's been a ton of sequences that have led up to this buildup and this explosion. But Mario's still dealing with a lot when it comes to roster and when it comes to the culture he's trying to instill. And I think a lot of that lack of culture showed through in that, you know, not fighting through adversity, even though it was only a 10-point game, fighting through adversity. I think a big problem is that also – I'm sure you've seen a lot on Twitter too. People are saying Tyler Van Dyke's not the answer. We need to find a new quarterback. Obviously, those are emotional type of responses. I think Tyler Van Dyke has the tools. I think he has the size. I think he has the arm strength. I think he has the accuracy. It's obviously not great when he's staring down Restrepo as his first read and his only read in 3/4 of the plays he runs, 18 targets, 11 receptions. But the big thing that I saw from Tyler is TVD is you've got to rally your troops at some point. You've got to get in somebody's ear and you've got to be emotional to whatever degree you want to be. You know what I mean? Like I haven't seen that. Players feed off of that dog in you, and the emotion, the yelling, the clapping, going over your linemen and popping everyone on the top of the helmet after they have a good drive, a good sequence of events that takes place and leads to points in any capacity. So to me, that's TVD's biggest knock. And I think it showed a lot more in that game because there was a lot of adversity to face in that game after halftime. And so I don't think he's not the person that people think he is or could be, but I think he's got to hit another gear, and that other gear doesn't come physically. It comes emotionally.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to break down every single game the rest of the way because I just don't. I think, in my opinion, it's not a skill issue. It's now where people are turning around and not paying attention to you like you used to, right? You've lost 2 straight games and you were expected to win both, arguably the UNC game. Who knows? Here's my point, right? You're going to play Clemson, Virginia, NC State, FSU's the big one, yep. Louisville, and then Boston College to wrap yep. up the season. And in my opinion, there's something that needs to be worked on. You mentioned team discipline. I completely agree. Yeah. I think it's not a skill issue. Again, I think the Canes are skill-wise a top 15 team in the country. I think it's more of how do you get past these two bad losses? How does the team come together? How does yep. Mario Cristobal clear his head? How do the players not listen to the fans? What do you think is the answer to all of these things? And do you agree with me that it's no longer a skill issue? It's more getting past.
I think with Manny it was a skill issue. I think he was recruiting the wrong kids for the wrong kids for wrong program type. I'll equate this to, like, I coach high school basketball, right? Mm-hmm. And for our girls this past season, we did two things in that season that school hasn't done in 15 years. We beat two teams. One of them hadn't lost a district game in 6 years. We beat them at home. The other one we beat in the school hadn't beaten 12 years. The process that the girls found out through that was learning how to win. When you're up, when you're down, exactly. Situational awareness, things like that. And I think that Miami, you know, when things are going good, they're going good, right? And when things are going bad, we got to find the good in those bad. Mm-hmm. And that was the thing that a lot of our players learned at my school that I coach at, is that we have to find a way to win even when things aren't going our way. And to me, that's what Miami has to find, is that everyone's on a high when TVD, like, you know, the Texas A&M game, for example, we dropped 48 points. Almost every possession after the first quarter in that game was in our favor. You know what I mean? We had some penalties go our way. We had the punt return. We had some big touchdowns. So they have to figure out how to win when things aren't going their way, when TVD is not slinging it right, when the running game isn't where it should be, in my opinion, the defense has been the saving grace for this season for the most part. Number one rush defense in the country. We had problems with that before because we couldn't tackle anything. Worst tackle rate the year before, you know, the year that Manny was there, the highest missed tackle rate in the country when Manny was there. So we've improved on things that don't really hit the stat sheet, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But I think Miami has to learn how to win on days that maybe you're not meant to win, or on in quarters that you're not winning that quarter, if that makes sense. I think that, like we talked about, the skill set's there. Like, you can recruit in South Florida just about every year, come away with a top 10 class, top 7 to top 10 class. And, you know, speed and talent aren't an issue down there. Mm-hmm. It's mindset, effort, and energy, in my opinion.
Exactly. So with that said, I want to wrap up on one thing. If Mario Cristobal was listening to this, hopefully he is, because we haven't really shoved him under the bus. We haven't said anything bad about him. But if he was listening to this, what would you say to him? It could be a short, long message, whatever you want to say. What would you say to Mario Cristobal?
Keep building your program. We and Miami players and even football fans, like, the Georgia Tech loss was bad, right? It is what it is. Should have kneeled, should have not fumbled. Cam shouldn't have been where he was. Whatever. It is what it is. But he has a lot of deep-rooted issues that go back. I mean, you look, Manny was there for, what, 3 or 4 years? That's 3 or 4 years of bad habits that he's having to peel back and peel back and peel back. Every single day they're on Green Tree. Every single day they're at practice, he's having to peel back and then reinstill new habits, new culture, new mindset, new work ethic, right? No one can deny we've seen flashes this year. We have seen flashes of good this year. A lot of people expected us to be 4-2, to be honest with you. We just didn't expect to be 4-2 like this. We expected, for the most part, people expected a loss to A&M. Absolutely. We expected a loss to North Carolina. We expected to be 4-2, just not this 4-2.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I would trade either of the wins. I wouldn't trade the Georgia Tech loss for the Texas A&M. A win is a win to me. And it's great that we beat a premier SEC program, in my opinion. Got Jimbo Fisher, you know, back for all the years he got us when he was at Florida State. I would tell Mario, keep course. Continue to recruit at the high level you're recruiting at. Continue to instill the discipline and the level of accountability that these players need going forward, because not only does he set up good football players on the field, but he sets these kids up for good futures, you know, instilling good habits, instilling good work ethic, good morals, things like that. But, you know, if he can just continue the process, in my opinion, he's recruiting great players right now. I mean, definitely. Look at Reuben Bain. Reuben Bain is a daggum animal on the field. He's a true freshman. Nigel Lee Kelly has really shown some stuff. You know, the defensive schematics look great. even the offense does look good at some points. It's just when you have inconsistencies at the quarterback position, you have inconsistencies at the offense. It is what it is.
And a lot of people are talking about, you know, the Georgia Tech game being, you know, the game with all the recruits and how they're not – believe me, it's not that deep. Like, yes, they did witness it. Believe me, this happens with every college football team. It is not, I repeat, not the difference between committing to Miami and not committing. No, it's not.
I do think that some people look at it and they'll be like, dang, that's a big loss. UNC – you know, it was a UNC -3.5 was the line this or the spread this time around in the betting. So, you know, we lost by 10. We should have. We take away the fumble. We take away a couple things. We're maybe up by 14 or 17 going into half instead of, you know, instead of 17-14, 3 points going into half. But, you know, you look at the projection, the trajectory that we're on right now. We have our next four games are relatively tough. We have, like you said, we have Clemson, we have Virginia, we have NC State, and then we have FSU. Trying to be a realist, and at the same time, I think the Clemson game is winnable. I really do. I don't think they have anything proven offensively aside from Will Shipley and Mustafa, the running game. I don't think Cade Klubnik is quite what people think he is yet. He don't have really anybody to throw to either. Virginia is a winnable game. NC State's a winnable game. FSU, as much of a diehard fan as I am, their offense is legit. I don't care what nobody says. Keon Coleman's a freak. Jordan Travis is playing well. Trey Benson, look what he did to us last year. He ripped us up last year. We could come out of this thing 3-1 and be 7-3. And that's, to me, that's almost a win season.
Very good record.
That's a really good record. And could it propel us into the top 25 if we're at least competitive against Florida State and we beat Clemson?
Definitely.
We beat Virginia. Mario's riding a ship that was turned around and backwards and sinking and all kinds of stuff. So
your message is to the fans now, don't let one game
don't
stop what you think about Cristobal. Exactly.
Don't panic. It takes, for the most part, it takes 3 years to turn a team around. He's got to get his guys in there. We've upgraded our staff, in my opinion. I think Lance Guidry and Shannon Dawson are doing their job, regardless of the Georgia Tech game. They're doing their job. And he's getting guys in there that, I mean, you look at Ray Joseph, who haven't touched the field too much. You look at Reuben Bain. These guys bleed green and orange. If there's anybody you want on the field playing for your university, it's guys that bleed the colors of those uniforms. You know what I mean? Like, they've wanted to be there since they were a kid. They watched the Warren Sapps, the Olivier Vernons, the Calais Campbells, the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed's, the Sean Taylors. They watch those guys on film, and they say, man, I want to be just like that person. So it's frustrating right now. I wouldn't call it a state of panic by any means. I wouldn't say anyone's on the hot seat either. If coming into next year, if we're still losing to Georgia Techs, if we're having dogfights with Virginians with no Brandon Armstrong because he's at NC State now, if we're having trouble with those kind of teams, the ones that we should handle, I could see people starting to hover their hand over the panic button. But I'm still, like I said, three years of bad habits. Just from whatever Manny was doing when he was there, the product he was selling to kids when he was there, that's a lot to try to scrape. You know, it's like barnacles on the bottom of a boat, man. They are hard to scrape off, and that's what Mario's doing right now. He's trying his hardest, but he's trying to scrape really, really fast because he wants this country and this fan base to have the product that he thinks they deserve that we've been robbed of for 20 years.
Exactly.
So just the ship's going to be. We're going to be nationally contending team. We're going to be ACC contending team, or to whatever, you know, conference they end up moving us to, or whatever we realign to, whatever TV contract comes up,
whatever NCAA league we're in, who knows?
We're gonna eventually be a powerhouse in there. Mario's recruiting the right way. We have guys in there that are recruiting the right way. Jason Taylor, obviously, he was a big part in bringing Reuben Bain, Jaden Wayne, and Najalik Kelly in. They're doing the right things. It's just not at the speed that, you know, the fan base wants it to be at because of the success we had in the you know, the 80s, 90s, and then very, very early 2000.
Exactly. No, that's really great analysis, EJ. Look, this is a good show. Really good analysis. Always fun chatting with you. I'm sorry it isn't, you know, of, you know, like how far can the Canes go, even though we can still apply that, but it's more of, how disappointing is this ship?
I would love to be talking 5-1, 6-0 Hurricanes right now, But at the same time, 1% better every day is progress, right?
Yeah.
And no, regardless of the losses, I think we're still trending 1% better every day. We didn't have these guys we were recruiting 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
James Williams, as talented as he is, he was still part of that Manny Diaz pool. You can still see some of the undiscipline on the field, doing things that he shouldn't be doing, not wrapping up, unsportsmanlike conduct. So the ship will be righted. It's just it's going to take a little bit longer than what people think. Those barnacles are freaking tough to get off this boat, dude.
Yeah. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, EJ, as always, for coming on. Yeah, make sure to follow at FL Teams on social media. FL Teams is your go-to one-stop shop for all Florida sports coverage. This is a really good time of year. College football, NFL, NBA starting, NHL starting, baseball playoffs, even though there's no Florida teams. So with that said, if you want to see all of this amazing content, and if you enjoyed this show with EJ, hit the subscribe button, hit the like, hit the follow, do whatever you can because we love engagement. And of course, check out our website, flteams.com. EJ, thanks so much. I'm Isaac Edelman. That's EJ Furman. We'll see you next time. Go Canes.